We are dealing with the subject of I met the master. Last week we met the leper who met the master. This morning in John chapter 3, I want you to look at this passage of scripture with me. We'll begin with verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you notice that Nicodemus has not asked a question yet? The Lord Jesus Christ is cutting straight to the chase. This man came with a lot of question marks, but Jesus deals with that question that every person has to come to grips with in regard to their relationship with God, and that is that a man must be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Do you see the change of voice? He began to talk about a man being born again. But in verse number 7, he makes it very personal to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He's speaking to him directly now, speaking to his heart. And that's exactly what happens in a service wherever there's 100 people or 200 people or 300 people. And when the Holy Ghost of God begins to deal, he speaks in a general invitation that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But at some point in time in your life, you pray he does, the Holy Ghost of God will speak to you and say that you must be born again. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to have a radical change. You've got to have a new birth. Verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master or teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, then you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What a unique statement about the omnipresence of even the Lord Jesus Christ. He was clothed in a human body, but at one time was in heaven. He came down to be Emmanuel, God with us. But he says at the same time, I'm here standing before you, but I'm also in heaven. Isn't that a unique statement? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this wonderful verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that cometh to the that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help us. God, you know exactly what you want us to do this morning. Our Father, we have no time but your time. But God, I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts now. Our Father, we understand that you save as you touched the leper last week, and immediately he was made whole. Immediately this morning, someone in this building, someone in the internet audience, someone on the radio could be born again by the grace of God and become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd speak now, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This perhaps is the most recognized and most talked about encounter of anybody on any level of two individuals getting together. Of all the encounters of political and military people over the years who've had a meeting, this one particular occasion that's recorded in your Bible probably has been mentioned more than any other occurrence like that in all of history. This one man met the Master, and billions of times since then, that story has been retold. And the phrases and the words of our Lord have been repeated over and over again. And be reminded of this, that this greatest of all verses in the New Testament that most everybody knows, you see it at ball games and everywhere else, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You see it everywhere, John 3:16. He spoke to one man. He was speaking to Nicodemus. Were there some disciples and all that night? I don't know. There's no accounting of that. I'm sure they probably were. But he is directing his attention and his focus to one man. Nicodemus, the Bible says, was a ruler of the Jews. Jewish tradition says that Nicodemus perhaps was one of the three richest men in Jerusalem at this particular time. He was a greatly well-respected man. He was influential. He was knowledgeable. He was a teacher, a master of the Jews. That means he is highly educated. He taught them in Judaism, but no doubt he was a great historian because the Jews put such value to history. He could recount all the occurrences of the Old Testament, name individuals, name places, name dates. No doubt he knew every bit of that. He had had his soul saturated. He was a Pharisee and perhaps even a member of the Sanhedrin, which means that he went through the rabbinical school to be a rabbi. And Jesus, he identified as a rabbi. We know that you're a teacher, rabbi, addressed him as rabbi. But those rabbis in that day went through the rabbinical school and they memorized the first five books of the Bible. He could quote for you the first five books of the Bible. But here Jesus meets, and this man meets the Master. Here a religious lost man meets the Master. And what a difference it makes. I have three little words I want to get into your mind this morning about the new birth. Jesus said to this man, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Again, he repeats it, "Except a man," verse 5, "be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And then he said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." First of all, this teacher, this master, Nicodemus, has three things that he must learn. Number one, he must learn the must, M-U-S-T, of the new birth. Jesus emphasized it on several occasions in these few verses. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. If anybody would suggest to you that there's any way in the world to go to heaven without being born again, it is a false doctrine. If they suggest to you that you must be baptized to go to heaven, that's not what this passage is teaching. You must go to church. That's not what this passage is teaching. You must be right or real and you must live by the law. That's not what this passage is teaching. He said the only way for you to go to heaven is you must be born again. It's not accepting some creed or believing something. It's not living a certain way. You have to have an experience to where you are radically changed. You must be born again. Why? Because of your nature. You are born into sin. Every one of us were born a sinner. Not one of you had to teach your children to do wrong. If you leave them long enough, they'll do wrong. They'll disobey. They'll do things that's not right. You know and I know that you have to teach children to do right because the Bible says that we all are lost. We have a nature. That's our nature. And my dear friend, because of the nature that you were born with into Adam's race, you're born into sin. And then because of that, the Bible said, "Whereas by one man sin entered the world and death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned."
We are sinners, and therefore we sin. And so what has to happen for you to get to go to heaven is your nature has to change. You've got to become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You could not enjoy heaven with the nature you've got now. It's a drudgery for most of you to come to church on Sunday morning. How'd you like to live for eternity in a church service where they're singing and shouting and praising God? My dear friend, listen. Your nature has to change. You've got to become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And so the necessity of the new birth, he had to learn that you must be born again. And there's no way to go to heaven without it. The Bible says that we are by nature the children of wrath. But what a wonderful promise in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, we have become partakers of a new nature. When you get saved by the grace of God, you're radically changed. It's a blessing from heaven. He gives you a brand new nature on the inside, one that loves God and craves God. God does that work. It's not something you do. It's something he does. But not only must he learn the must that is absolutely necessary. I don't ask you this morning, have you been baptized? Don't ask you this morning, are you a member of anybody's church? But have you been born again? You must be born again. You've got to have an encounter with God where he radically changes you and you become partaker of a divine nature, and the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart crying, Abba, Father. Thank God for that. But not only does this teacher learn about the must of the new birth, he learns about the mystery of it. He asks the question, how can these things be? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Some people say that this refers to the water being the Word of God. And rightly, the Lord does use the Word of God to convict us. But Jesus goes on to say, and that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I think he's talking about you have a physical birth, but you must have a new birth. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a brand new birth. Now, have you had that birth? He compares it to a birth. The word born again means born from above. You have to have a heavenly citizenship. You've got to be born into the family of God. Everybody in here was born on a certain day at a certain time. You had a birth. You've been born physically. And everybody has to have a time when they get born again. It's a mystery. He couldn't understand that. Can I explain it to you thoroughly? No, I can't explain it to you thoroughly, but it is a reality. But let me give you a parallel. He is paralleling the physical birth with the natural birth. What about the physical birth? In the first place, how many times were you born physically? Once. You only get born again one time, one birth. You don't get saved over and over and over again. If you're saved, you get saved once. You get born again. You got born on a certain day at a certain time. And my dear friend, you don't gradually become a Christian. You may gradually be dealt with, the fallow ground broken up, the Holy Ghost of God tend to your heart. But there's a moment in time when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that moment, you're born again. And everybody has to have that experience, some point in your life when you had an experience, when you were born physically, you were born spiritually. You know there's a time. You know, may not remember the date or the hour exactly, but you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you had that one birth that you have to have. The second thing I'd say to you is this, that birth brought life. When that baby was born, it cried the first cry. And when you got born again, you received life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what happens when you get born? He gave you everlasting life. You became alive, spiritual life, like you've never been before. And there's a difference. There's a vast difference in that. You have life. Do you have life? Brother Avery Rogers used to tell me and teach that people say, I don't remember this, don't remember that about my new birth. He said, but are you alive? That's what makes the difference. Don't trust a baptism. Don't trust a piece of paper anywhere that says, I was joined church on such and such a day. Do you have life in you now? Are you breathing physically? Is your heart beating physically? Then you have life. And if you're spiritual born, you have spiritual life inside of you. You grow and you respond. You have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. Do you have anything like that inside of you? Is there a nature in you that causes you to want to go to heaven? You have an affinity. You have a love for God the Father and for God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the church? If there's life in you, you do. And when you got born again, you got life. But third thing I say to you is this, that life was a result of the suffering of somebody else. Your mother went through the valley of the shadow of death to bring you into this world. And if you're born again, you are the result of somebody else's suffering. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He suffered for us. He suffered that we might have life. He paid that sin debt. And thank God you can have it. At a new birth, that new baby doesn't have a past. He has a future. Everything is in the future when that baby is born. Everything he sees for the first time. He'll see his mother's face for the first time, his dad's face for the first time, see a sunrise, sunset, flower. Everything he sees, and for the next several weeks and months, he'll see things for the very first time he'd never seen before. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you have life, but your future's ahead of you. All the sin of the past is gone. All you have now is a future. And that future is assured by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And heaven is your home just as surely as you're already there. And oh, what wonderful things I've seen through the Spirit of God for the very first time when I got saved. And I hadn't quit seeing Him yet. Every day He shows me new things that I hadn't seen as a babe in Christ. And thank the Lord for that. There is that mystery of that birth, and what God does for us is He gives us everlasting life. But what are the means of that birth? How does it come about? He goes on to explain to Nicodemus, how does it happen? How can this be? How can it happen, he says. And he says in verse 14, and as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you haven't believed, you're condemned already. What are the means whereby you can experience this new birth? You see, Christ has paid the debt, and herein is the means of it. How does it come about? How can this be, he said. He said, it's like that serpent in the wilderness. Sin, represented by that serpent, was biting people and they were dying. And God said, you take that serpent and you make a serpent out of brass and hold it up on a pole. Brass in the Bible always speaks of the judgment of God. And it's a picture of God judging sin, that brass serpent that's up there. And when Christ was on the cross, He bore all of our sins in His own body on the tree. And what God did that day was He judged all of my sin. He executed on His dear Son all of the judgment that I should have had, all the hell that I should have had, all the torment for eternity that I should have had and that you should have had. He poured it all on Jesus. Jesus paid our sin debt. Jesus gave His life a ransom. He did our suffering. He did our dying. He did our thirst. He did our separation from the Father. He did our sentence of death and in hell. He paid that sin debt that day like that serpent. So now what about those people who were bitten? They were terminal. They had that venom in their body. They would die. What good was that death? What good was that brass serpent on that cross? They were instructed to do two things. Look and live. Look and live. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord said it's like this. It's believe. If you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, that you can't save yourself, that you must be born again, that you're wicked and on your way to hell, you're lost, but you must believe that Jesus died and paid that sin debt. If you take your Bible and you want to take your Bible and you go through here and you begin in this passage of Scripture, circle every word that is believe or believeth in there. There are seven of them. Seven times in this brief passage I just read to you. And seven in the Bible is the number of completion or perfection. How is it that you can be born again? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you believed on Him? plus nothing, minus nothing. He paid the sin debt. It's all full complete. It is a free gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He offered Him as a sacrifice, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The means of your new birth is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit of God will come into your heart crying, Abba, Father, and He'll give you everlasting life. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. It's a wonderful blessing to be born again by the grace of God. Nicodemus approached the Lord trying to intellectually understand it. And He said, you can't do it. You've got to believe. If you'll believe, you can be saved. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. But if you'll believe, there's no condemnation forever and forever.